come from the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3, and verse number 20. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 for our scripture reading. We'll just read that one verse of scripture. And see what the Lord will speak to our hearts tonight. First Peter chapter 3, verse number 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The scripture here in its context is talking about Christ suffering and being put to death, and also went and preached unto the spirits in prison, an ancient ministry. And then verse 20 where we pick up, and it says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. And I want to preach tonight on God waited. Amen. God waited. They sang that song a while ago. He's waiting on you to walk through the door. He's waiting on you. And I haven't heard them sing that song in a long time. But I was thinking a lot about that when I was looking at these scriptures this last week. And I'm glad that they sang that tonight, because that's really the only song that really came to my mind that kind of went with this message on God waited. And I want to preach about that tonight, about God waiting. And Brother Curtis mentioned it after they sang about how that we wait on the Lord, and a lot is mentioned about waiting on the Lord. But I'm going to go along these lines tonight and preach about God waiting, how God waited. You may be seated. Most commentators agree, and I don't know if I'm not going to ask you to respond tonight, but a lot of times it has been said that it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. I've heard that. But in actual Bible, the Bible doesn't say how long it took Noah to build the ark. It does tell us that Noah was 500 years old when God dealt with him to build the ark, or that's when Noah basically is introduced to the Bible, and it says that he is 500 years old. And then it does tell us the actual age of Noah when he went into the ark, or when the flood came, and that was he was 600 years old. The Bible tells us, I believe, he was 602 months. 600 years old, and in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month and the 17th day of the month, the same day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven opened. The Bible tells us that Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then it begins to introduce to us how God gave this plan when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I want to preach tonight on God waited. Most people have said, most commentators have said, or it has been commonly said, that it took Noah 120 years. So when we're talking about God waited, he don't wait like us for 20 seconds and then decide that's long enough. Or, you know, wait for about 3 or 4 hours and say, man, I've waited long enough. Or, no, he waited for about 100 years. And God saw the wickedness of the earth, and he made up in his mind that he was going to destroy it. And God waited. I'm glad God waited, because we wouldn't be here if God hadn't waited. Amen. And the Bible says that few. Why did God wait? Did he wait on thousands? Did God wait? The earth was multiplied, and there was many people on the earth at this time. And did God wait on a revival to sweep through the land and thousands get saved? Well, eight people was on the ark. So God waited. Noah walked with God, so God waited on seven people. Noah's wife and his three children. Few. I want to preach to us tonight. The title is God Waited. But I want to preach to you that every single person matters to God. Every single individual matters to God. Every child matters to God. Every woman, boy, or girl matters to God. You know, I believe this. I've heard it said. I've said it myself, and I hope that you believe it tonight, that God would have sent his son if I'd have been the only one. Amen. That Jesus would have died on the cross if I would have been the only one. And I believe that he cares so much about it. When God waited so the ark could get built. He waited for about 100 years. It was at least 90 years in my opinion. And probably 100 years if you take Bible study, you know, and how that it's brought out there in Genesis, but we don't know. But I do know this, that Shem, Ham, and Japheth was his three sons. Shem is mentioned first, but he's really the middle child, because the Bible tells us that Japheth was the elder. And Ham was the youngest. It tells us that when he saw Noah drunk. Amen. And it talks about the younger. Ham the younger. But so it was Japheth, Shem, and Ham. Shem was put on the top because he got the birthright. And he had the lineage of the Lord in him. God's people came through Shem. And I'm telling you, it matters when God's hand is on your life. It matters now, and it matters through all history and all eternity. Hallelujah. When God places his hand on an individual, their life is changed forever. And so God brought him to the top. But God waited. Amen. Every individual counts. I know that it's a very familiar story, amen, where Jesus was wearied on his journey and sat thus on the well. You know, the Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria. Now, according to, amen, commentaries, and I hope I don't bore you tonight. I feel like that I would like to preach this, but I'm kind of a little frazzled today, or tonight, you know, left church and went straight to Shreveport and pulled up and walked right in the door. So, I mean, I ain't even changed my shirt. This is the shirt that I sweated all in this morning, but don't get too close to me. I might smell a little bit, but anyways, the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. We know that. The Bible tells us that. And they would take a 15-mile detour around, which literally would take about another day. They would take a 15-mile detour around just to miss going through Samaria. Well, Jesus, he wasn't about wasting time. He was on business. And plus, there was a woman who was a sinful woman, amen, who had lived a horrible lifestyle that needed to get saved. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And what that means is, he could have took the detour, which all the elite Jewish people did in that day, just to avoid going through the scum of Samaria. That's what they thought it was. Samaritans was actually a mixed breed of people. They had Jewish blood in them, and then they had Gentile blood in them. And so the true Jews didn't have nothing to do with them. They wouldn't have nothing to do with them. You're talking about prejudice. I mean, they wouldn't have nothing to do with them, and it's wrong. God didn't like it. But anyways, Jesus wasn't about to just, you know, take this detour. I mean, all these miles around, he went straight through Samaria. But we know the whole story. He had a more important job, and that was to find that woman and to give her living water. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. And so the Bible said that Jesus came coming to a city of Samaria called Sychar in John 4 near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. They went to McDonald's, and Jesus stayed there to win souls. I'm sorry, they went to Golden Corral. I'm sorry, they went to Slim Chickens. All the disciples left and went to eat. Amen. Down at the local restaurant. They went down to get the to-go order. They went to the market. They went to Walmart. They went to Brookshire's. Wherever they went, they went. That's what we would be saying today. They went to buy food. And Jesus stayed. Amen. He was too tired. No, he was on business. I'm preaching tonight on God waited. God waited. Amen. 100 years. Most commentators believe it took 100 years to build the ark. He didn't build it overnight. I promise you that. I'm talking about 525 feet one way. And I mean, not modern. He didn't have no steel chainsaw that has an easy start. I've got a steel chainsaw that I've had for a while, and it's got an easy start. And it actually, you know how you jerk on them chainsaws? I probably ought not tell this. Y'all will go over and steal it. But anyways, I have had my Bible stole from church. And I have had my coat stole from church. So you never know about these people around here. And Sister Bobby had her purse stole from a church member in Walmart. And I was an eyewitness, but I'm not going to tell you who did it. But I will say this. Sister Bobby was in Walmart, and somebody that I know picked her purse out of there and followed her around. It was 10 minutes before she knew it was gone. Sister Bobby. Sorry about that. I shouldn't tell that. I apologize. But anyways, I have a chainsaw that you pull and then you wait and it spins and starts it. And then you pull it and it's like pulling a shoestring and it starts. He didn't have none of that. It took him a long time to build the ark and God waited on him. Why did God wait? So more people could get saved. Wait a minute. You mean God waited 100 years for 7 people to get saved? Well, Noah was already saved. Noah walked with God. And Enoch walked with God and God took him. And God could have took Noah the same way. But God chose to wait. The Bible says God waited. God waited 100 years while he built that ark, or 90 years, a long time. Now I want to tell y'all something. Amen. I know. Amen. That Shem was the middle child. And I know, according to Genesis chapter number 11, that Shem was 100 years old 2 years after the flood. That means if he built the ark for 100 years, then he was born 2 years after he started. Well, you don't get married when you're born. So I know his wife was one of the new converts that God waited on. You know, there's something else to think about. 8 is God's number of new beginnings. 8 is. Did you know that there was 8 people saved and God started a whole new race, amen, of people upon the earth with that number 8? And not only that, Noah was the 8th person from Adam, and God started. Everybody came from Noah. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that out of Noah and his children, the whole earth was covered. Amen. All the nations came from Noah. Amen's sons. But if Shem was the middle one, and Noah went in the ark at 600 years old, and Shem was 100 years old when 2 years after the flood, if Noah started building the ark and it took him 90 years to build the ark, then Shem was 8 years old when Noah started building the ark. You know he wasn't married at 8 years old. Anybody 8 years old? So I'm making the point that at least Shem and Ham's wives were saved after Noah started building the ark. Noah had some converts. It was his own family. And that's most important of all. Amen? I believe that God places it upon us. Amen. Just like I was there in the hospital just a little while ago with that mother. Amen. Praying for her son. God places a love in us. And it's our responsibility to pray for our children. Amen. If we don't pray for them, who will? If we don't pray for our babies, who will? If we don't see our children saved, who will? But, amen, God waited on some new converts. Who was it? It was his daughter-in-laws. Hallelujah. Amen. I can say that Noah was 100% successful. Even though it was only 8. All of his kids were saved. Hallelujah! God waited so, amen, Shem, Ham, and Japheth could get married. Hallelujah! And them women could be saved. Thank God. Amen. They made a good choice when they married them boys. I don't know what they look like. They might have been ugly, but I'm telling you what, they rode the boat and saved their life while everybody else was drowning. And I'm telling you something right now, amen, God can put you in a family, God can put you in a, amen, God can set it up and save your soul, hallelujah, as a result of it. Amen. And the Bible said, he said, give me to walk, give me drink, and then the disciples came back and they're eating their, you know, whatever. Tacos. I mean, they've been to eat. They went and bought food to eat. And they come back. I mean, they're chomping down, you know, and said, here, he got something to eat. Here's your burger, or here's your taco, or here's your, you know, chicken leg, or whatever it is that they've got. And Jesus wasn't even hungry. He had already ate. And no, they said, who gave him something to eat? Did somebody come by here? Did the pizza delivery man come by here and give him some pizza or something? I mean, did Meals on Wheels come by here? Amen. And somebody told me about that they was in this cat went to heaven and these mice was rolling around on rollerblades. And somebody asked the cat, what's the favorite thing about heaven? He said, all these Meals on Wheels. But anyways, who brought Jesus food? She gave him water and she gave him meat and he gave her water. Because he said, I'll give you the drink of a well. Whosoever drinks of this water thirst again. Amen. He gave her spiritual water and she gave him spiritual meat. He wasn't even hungry. Amen. When they got back with the to-go orders, because even though he was hungry when they left, because his soul was so satisfied with the work of God. You talking about getting lost in the work of God. Consumed with the work of God. Amen. It's that important to us. It was that important to Jesus that his natural appetite was overran by the work of God. A soul was saved and he lost his appetite. His natural body was affected by spiritual things. Amen. God help us. Amen. Our body is not to control us. Our spirit and God in our spirit is to control us. The Bible said, amen, that if a man don't have rule over his own self, he's like a city without walls. The devil can come in with those fleshly desires. Amen. He can take control so quick. Say, well, I'll never do that. I'll never do what they did. I'll never do what they done. I'll never do that. I'll never do that. Amen. When the flesh is in control, we don't know what we'll do. Amen. I'm talking about few. The Bible said, amen, in Acts chapter number 8, that Philip left the revival. And I know y'all know this story, that Philip left the revival. I'm preaching tonight on God waited. Amen. God's waiting on somebody around here. He's waiting on somebody to get saved. It might be your husband or your son or your daughter or something, but God's waiting on somebody to get saved. He's waiting. He said he waited while the ark was being built. He waited, amen, so that somebody else could get saved. Few. He waited on few. Why? Does God care about my little family? Why, sure he does. He cares about everybody. Does God care about you and your prayers? Why, sure he does. He cares about us all. Philip was preaching, amen, in Samaria, and the Bible said that the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Amen. Unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice and came out. Amen. Many were possessed with them and taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. You talking about revival. That ain't the end of it either. They got the Holy Ghost too. The Bible said that the apostles in Jerusalem heard how they received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And Philip was the evangelist. And what happened? The Bible said in verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. A man, a single man. God called Philip out of revival to go for one convert. Amen. Y'all ever thought about John 3:16? I've heard him talk about John 3:16, the greatest scripture, the gospel in one verse. And I mean, you know, there's not a greater than, and I believe that. Do you know who John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know who that was spoken to? One man in the middle of the night on top of a house, because the man was too scared to meet Jesus in public. It wasn't to the masses that Jesus stood and told John 3:16. Amen. But it was to a single person. And God, amen, cares about every individual. That's why he lays it on our heart to lay out a track. That's why he lays it on our heart to pray for somebody. That's why he lays it on our heart to witness to somebody. Because God cares about the individual. I don't know about y'all, but I learned to count one at a time. Philip goes down, there's revival going on in Samaria, and Philip goes down, amen, God tells Philip to leave the revival and go down, hallelujah, I'm preaching tonight on God waited, and the Bible says, wherein few, the world looks at numbers, amen. I'm telling you, God wants to save the whole world. He wants to save every individual. Amen. But if there's only one comes in, he'll save that one. And he wants to save that one. God waited, amen, for 100 years just so he could add 7 more people to the ark. But really, he didn't add 7 more. He added us. Because God waited. The whole human race was preserved because God waited. The Bible said Philip went down and rose, and there was a man, amen, Ethiopian, hallelujah, Gentile man, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself. Philip ran thither and heard him read, amen, understand what thou readest. He invited him up. He preached unto him Christ, hallelujah. Philip opened his mouth and then began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Wait a minute, Philip. There's people back in Samaria, amen, that's having revival. Why don't you go back there? God told me to be right here. Amen. So one man could be saved. Amen. One man. God cares about that one person, your neighbor, your son, your daughter, your friend, one. I know we want to see revival where the doors are open, we have to bust the back wall out and the side walls, amen, and meet out in the field because we ain't got room, amen. But what about that one sinner that comes into church, amen? God give us a yearning, praying, oh God, save them. Oh God, make it easy for them to go to the altar. Oh God, break every chain and fetter. Chase every devil out. God waited 100 years around about then, amen, just for seven people to get saved. If you agree with the commentators, at least Shem wasn't even born yet. He wasn't even born. God waited. He could have took Noah out of here, just like he took Enoch, but instead, God waited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for God's mercy that cares about the individual. God help us when we come into church and there's a sinner here. Amen. That one soul is worth more than the whole world. God help us when there's children, amen, that is praying. God help us when there's children, amen, that is seeking the Lord. That one soul is worth more than the whole world. Hallelujah. I heard a preacher talk about, I believe it was his uncle or somebody, amen, that was pastoring a church. Amen. This was years ago, and he's pastoring a church, and God was moving and helping and blessing, and said they called him for this little church. It's about to close down. Amen. And he said, God dealt with me, said, you're supposed to go pastor that church. And he said, I told him, said, well, if you have such a burden for that place, why don't you go pastor it? And he said, I'm telling you, God dealt with me, you need to go pastor that church. And he said, well, I'll pray about it. And he said, God was moving in his church. People was getting blessed and help and all that. And he said, he got praying about it. And he said, the Lord dealt with him, said, you need to go. You need to go and pastor that church. So him and his family went down there. Wasn't hardly nobody there. Said he got up, got to preaching. Wasn't just a few Sundays, his brother walked in the back door, came down, prayed, and got saved. And he said, I said, hallelujah, that I obeyed God. Hallelujah. One soul is worth more than the whole world. They wrote a song, said, if just one more soul walks down the aisle, it'll be worth every struggle. It'll be worth every trial. Amen. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if he rescues one more soul. Amen. Philip went down there and preached and baptized him, and only one man got saved. And as soon as he got through baptizing him, amen, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. God sent him down there for that one soul. One soul. Hallelujah. And God cares, and God waited. Amen. For all those years while Noah was building that ark. Amen. Just so souls could be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. And souls was saved. Yes, they was. Just so God could preserve men's lives. And men's lives was preserved, even though it was only eight. Amen. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter, chapter number 2 and verse 5, amen, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Amen. Spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. God waited while the ark was building so Noah could preach the truth. All that generation and all those people came from all around to look at that crazy man built that ark, and Noah took advantage of it and preached to them. Amen. I'm telling you, as we live in this world, we're outcast. As we live in this world, we stick out like a sore thumb. Amen. As we live in this world, we don't fit in this world. Amen. But there's a purpose. God wants us to preach the truth to people with our lives and with our conversation and with our, amen, lifestyle and with our words and everything that we do and say. Amen. Noah preached to them. The Bible said a preacher. Noah was a preacher. And God waited so Noah could preach to all them people. There wasn't one person, I believe, that God didn't kill with that flood at some point or another, didn't have a chance to go in that ark. And God is faithful, and he will give men and women a chance to repent. Now, I don't mean they will repent, but he'll give them a chance to repent. God's merciful and God's loving and God's caring, and he will give men and women a chance to repent of their sins. And Noah preached to them.
Hallelujah. And there's preaching going forth today. How important is it for the preacher? How important is it in God's word for the preacher? The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, amen, what saith it? The word is not even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, can somebody say whosoever? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then how shall they call in him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. The message of the gospel is glad tidings of good things. God will change the life. God will deliver the heart. God will deliver from addiction. God will heal the body. Amen. God will heal the mind. God will heal the broken home. Amen. This is a message of glad tidings of good things. But the devil blinds the minds of the people that are in darkness. He's literally got his fingers over people's minds. When Saul, who turned to Paul, was saved, you know the Bible said there fell from his eyes scales. He couldn't even see. You know what we need today? We need a revival of scales falling off of people's eyes. Hallelujah! I got a book on this man who was a praying man and a missionary to Africa, and it's got a lot of good things in there. One thing was that tuberculosis back early 1900s, amen, tuberculosis had a big hold on a lot of people, and there wasn't cures for it that at that time. They was, you know, and so this man of God, amen, had prayed for a man that had tuberculosis, and he was healed, and he felt like God had given him grace. Amen, to pray for tuberculosis. And there was another man there that was close to him. I believe it may be even another preacher. Amen, that his son come down with tuberculosis. And he prayed for him and nothing happened. Amen, so he went to the doctor. And the doctor encouraged him, amen, to take some type of medicine. And so he went to the preacher and he said, I'll pray about it. He said he went in there and prayed and said he felt like the Lord told him, said, tell him to take that medicine. And so he went back and he said, I felt like the Lord told me to tell you to take that medicine. So he took the medicine and nothing happened. And he said that the doctor said, well, I feel like you should go to this certain place. It was a different climate and live there. You know, and he had to live in like a tent and something. It was like out in the woods or whatever it was. I'm not sure about that. And so he came. He said, the doctor said that he felt like I should go here. And he said, well, let me pray about it. And so he went and prayed about it. And he said he felt like the Lord told him, amen, go and do what the doctor said. And so he went and lived there. Well, the doctor, after, you know, different appointments, he was not getting no better. And so he came, the doctor had, they had done research and they found out this tropical climate down in Portuguese. And he said, the doctor said that they had heard that they had sent different tuberculosis people down there to Portuguese and that it had cured this tuberculosis. And so he went to him and he said, the doctor's saying to go to Portuguese. He said, well, I'll pray about it. He said, I prayed about it. And he said, I felt like he couldn't. He said, so I went back to him. The man said, I don't have the money. And he said, okay. And he said, well, let's just see what. He said, I felt like it. And he said, I got the money. You let him go. So he went to him. He said, I'm going to pay your way. And the dad said, well, we got to have somebody to go with him. He said, well. He said, who do you feel like should go? He said, well, I'll go pray about it. So he went and prayed about it. He said, the Lord said, you go with him. He said, I said, Lord. He told his wife. And she said, let me pray about it. And she said, she prayed about it and said, the Lord said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
said, if it was your husband that had tuberculosis, would you feel bad if that man said he was going to go with him? She said, no, Lord, I'd be happy. She said, Phil, you ought to be happy if he's going. So he said, we went to Portuguese and lived for 30 days. And he said, at the end of the 30 days, and he tells about different stuff that went on down there, and he said, by this time, all around his city and stuff, everybody knew about this crazy preacher who was doing all this crazy stuff. And he said that we went to Portuguese, and he said, I'd pray and seek God. And he said, I got so close to God down there. He said, I'd go through it just to have my prayer meetings again. He said, we're staying in a motel down there in Portuguese. And he said that the Lord told me, said, 30 more days, 1 month, I'm going to heal him. He said, I went back to him. He said, the Lord told me, said, in 30 days, you're going to be healed. He said, we rejoiced and praised God. And he said, we was praying one day. And he said, the Lord said, tell everybody about it. He said, there's some Portuguese missionaries there. He said, we was walking down the, they was from America, and they was missionaries to Portuguese. And he said, we was walking down the road one day because they would go to that mission. The boy with tuberculosis wouldn't, but went to the, was going down there, was the preacher, the missionary's wife, and said, hey, said the Lord told him that I was going to be healed. Amen. At such and such day. And said, she said, that ain't even possible. That ain't gonna work. Said, people come down here and it's a joke. They don't get healed from, you know, in this climate. And he said, well, I'm telling you, it is. Said they went down to the missionary and told him the same thing. And he said, well, said, if God told you, that's fine. And he said, but would you be willing for a doctor around here to look at it? So he said, sure. So he said he paid for a doctor to come look. So the doctor said he was hemorrhaging in his lungs and said he'd be dead before 30 days even came. And so said on that 30th day, he said the week before, he said the Lord said, send a telegram back to America and tell him that I said he's going to be healed on a certain day. He said, I said, wait a minute, Lord, I don't know about this. He said, but I'm telling you, it got so strong. He said, I sent a telegram on the morning at about 8 o'clock in the morning. Hey, man, he is healed. He said, I sent victory back home to the home church. And he said, he wasn't no more healed than nothing. And he said, we sat down and he began to weep. And he said, I'm not healed. Said, it's already like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. Said, I'm not healed. And he said, he began to weep. And said, the Holy Ghost came down upon him. He said, I mean the Spirit of God. He said, got so strong. He said, there's a train station right there. He said, we shouted all around that on that street. He said, the train stopped. People was looking. And he said, he began to breathe normal. He said, I'm going to try it right now. He said, let's run a race. He said, we ran in front of that train and back and back and forth, back and forth. He said, we ran down to the mission. It wasn't even the night for the service. He said, the place was packed. We had church. Amen. And God moved and sent revival to Portuguese. They came back home. God sent revival to home. The man became a preacher. Amen. God waited just so a testimony could be shared. Amen. And people could know of the healing power of God. Amen. That was the whole point of it all. God wanted to show his power. And he wanted to prove that he really had tuberculosis. That man wrote and said, I'm convinced that the reason God, amen, told me this and wait and had these doctors and go up there, it said so people would really know this man really had tuberculosis. Ain't that something? God waited so Noah could preach the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? The Bible said, amen, that God makes one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor out of the same lump. And he said, what if God willing to show his wrath to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he afore prepared unto glory, even us? Paul is writing to the Romans and he's saying, amen, did you ever think that God chose to turn against the Jews so he could save the Gentiles, you Romans? He said, even us whom he hath called not of the Jews only but also of the Gentiles. Amen. God waited so we could be saved.
God waited so he could save Noah's family. Thank God for Noah. Thank God that he was willing to build an ark to save his house. Are you willing to build an ark to save your house? Amen. God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. My wife's great-grandma, amen, her husband ran off on her and she took those children to church. Amen. Poor. Hallelujah. That man came home years later. Those children didn't want nothing to do with that man because all those years, amen, that their mother suffered. Amen. But they said she would walk to church and tie rags together. And those kids, I think there were seven of them. Bethany's grandma was still alive. She was one of them. And I'm telling you, some of the most mighty preachers, those power brothers, Jim and Kirk, amen, and Wayne, pastored all around Washington, D.C., saw God move all because of mama. Amen. Hallelujah. Built an ark, so to speak. Hallelujah. I thank God for mamas who was willing to go to church when the daddy stayed home. You know, in the Pentecostal church many times, amen, there's a lot of women in the church because the men wouldn't get saved. It's true. Look at history in this country. Amen. Many times. But it ain't just there. Read the last chapter of Romans. Amen. Paul's a naming women. He's a naming women there in that church. Amen. Thank God. Build an ark to the saving of his house is what Noah did. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Noah built an ark. Amen. Being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. God waited so a preacher could preach to them. You know the story of Jonah. The kids could tell the story of Jonah. God said, go preach to Nineveh. We know what Jonah did. What did he do? He went the opposite way. He ran. But you know what God did? He waited. He said, I got a preacher on the run. I got to get him turned around. And then I'll get him to Nineveh. And I'll save some souls. I got a preacher in the bottom of the sea. I need to destroy that city. But I'm going to wait until I can get the preacher out of the belly of the whale. Amen. Out of his backslid condition. Amen. God may be waiting on you to come out of the belly of the whale, so to speak, and get full of God, amen, and preach to somebody so they can be saved. Jonah went the other way. What'd God do? He said, go to Nineveh, for the cry of their wickedness has come up before me. Amen. And the Bible said the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, and Jonah came and said, 40 days I'll destroy this city. You know what? God didn't give him a new message. He gave him the same message. 40 days, I'll destroy this city. Amen. Wait a minute. It should be like 20-some days now. No, Jonah's done took a ride on a boat and a ride in a fish. And a ride through the air when he vomited him out. Man, you're talking about Six Flags ain't got nothing on this ride. Ain't got nothing when you run from God. You're talking about a ride now. You'll take a ride when you run from God. And it'll be the mercy of God if you come out alive. But God said, I'm going to destroy that city in 40 days. Jonah took off the other way. What'd God do? Well, I guess I got to destroy it. No, I'm just going to wait. You know, there's judgment pronounced on people even in this area and kin to us and everything, but God's awaiting to give them a chance to get in the ark. God should have done cut them off a long time ago, brother and sister, but he's waiting. And he's saying, I'm going to give them another chance. I'm going to give them another revival. I'm going to give another tent revival. I'm going to give another message. I'm going to let them have another near-death experience. I'm going to give them another hospital stay. I'm going to give them another scare of their life. I'm going to let something happen. I'm going to be good to them. I'm going to do this and that. And the whole time, what are we doing? We're over here hammering nails. We're over here throwing, amen, slamming pitch on the walls. We're over here preaching righteousness, amen. That's why we got to live right in front of our family. That's why we got to live right in front of our lost loved ones. Amen. Because God's counting on us to win them to the Lord. God's counting on us to preach them the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us, Lord. God, help us, Lord, to be a light and a witness to our families. Help us to be a light and a witness to our loved ones that is lost. Because God cares for them so much. And you know what God's doing? He's just waiting. He's just waiting. I know he won't wait forever. But he waited 100 years. You know, God should have done wrapped all this up. Amen. It said the times of the Gentiles, that word is the dispensation, said Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. A dispensation was about 40 years. And many times it would overlap just a few more, maybe 20 years in a dispensation, and the new dispensation would start. The times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. Amen. Until Jerusalem was trodden down to the Gentiles. Jerusalem became Israel's capital nation in 1967. Hallelujah. Times are running out, but God's awaiting. He said, when you see the fig tree blossom, remember this right here. Amen. Summer is nigh. And he said, I say unto you that this generation will not pass away until all things be fulfilled. We know what the blotting of the fig tree was when Israel became a nation, 1948. My God, this generation shall not pass away. I don't know. Amen. Generations about 70, 80 years according to the Bible. I don't know if there'll be one person alive. Only one still living. But I'm telling you something right now. Amen, Methuselah. Amen, God, let him live 969 years. Because the year he died, the flood came. God let him live because of what his name meant. And I'm telling you, God's awaiting. Hallelujah. He's waiting on America. He's waiting on sinners and backsliders to come back. I know he's going to destroy this land. I know he's going to call his church home. But he's waiting just for one more soul, one more family, one more husband, one more. God's awaiting, and he's awaiting. And the whole time there's hammers being just bang, 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 bang. Amen. You can hear the saw cutting. Amen. And God just awaiting. Hallelujah. It wasn't getting on his nerves. Amen. That bang, bang, that ting, ting of the hammer on the nail. Oh, no. God's saying there's an ark. There's an ark. There's an ark so you can be saved from the flood. It had never rained before, and it never rained until God shut the door. The Bible said, Jesus said, they knew not. Amen. Until, amen, Noah went in the ark. Amen. The rain didn't come until Noah went in the ark. Amen. And I'm telling you, God gives signs. Amen. And God give this generation sign because of his mercy. I mean, the earthquakes that are taking place, the wars and rumors of wars. The Bible said nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. It's end time. Distress of nations, perplexity, famines. Amen. All of these things is coming to pass. Amen. Signs in the heaven. Think about these. Amen. These moons and stars and amen. All of this astrology signs that has taken place. Amen. You might not hear much about it, but there's signs in the heavens that are taking place every day. It's because the end of time is upon us. Amen. I believe the Antichrist is alive right now. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. Some of y'all been saved a while. Some of y'all been in church a while. Whether you believe me or not, if your bank would have tried to give you a card and said it's got a chip in it 20 years ago, you would have walked out of there and went down and said, I'm burying my money.
But it's come in so smooth and soft. I'm not preaching against a chip and a card, but I'm just saying we used to talk about the mark of the beast. They're going to put a chip. They're going to put a device in man's right hand or his forehead. Amen. And everything in there is going, and you're not going to be able to buy or sell. How's that going to happen? Well, I'll go down to Joe and I'll buy some groceries from Joe. He'll sell them to me. Oh, no, you won't, because there won't be no cash. There won't be no currency. Everything will be electronic right in through there. What are you going to buy it with? Your money ain't no good. Your quarters ain't no good. I mean, I guess you could give your horse to him, but what if he ain't got a farm? You give your tractor, but what if he don't need a tractor? Come on, church. And it's right here upon us. All they got to do is snap their finger and start putting them in people. There's foreign countries already putting GPSs in their soldiers, putting devices where they can follow them on their soldiers. And I'm telling you, if we didn't believe it before, we ought to believe it now. The mark of the beast is right knocking on our door. And I'm telling you, don't let the devil say, well, I'll just take the mark and then get my head cut off. The Bible said whoever took his mark, amen, whoever took the mark of that beast is automatically lost forever.
Amen.
God's just awaiting. I believe the church is holding it back. I believe the church is holding the forces of darkness back. Our prayers, praying mamas and praying daddies and praying people, praying churches saying, God bless our nation. God bless our president. God bless our soldiers. God bless us. Bless, Lord. Help us. Amen. Turn their hearts. God give us Supreme Court justice. Amen. That'll rule in the right way. Amen. God help us tonight. You know what God's doing? He's just waiting. You know what He's waiting on? He's not waiting on the White House. He's waiting on your house.
Amen.
We're so worried about the White House. What about our house? And God's house. Hello? Come on, church. If we cared as much about God's house as we did the White House, help us, Lord. God's awaiting. He's just awaiting, just like He did for Noah. God bless you tonight. Stand together with me. Thank the Lord for His grace. Thank the Lord for His mercy. Thank the Lord that He cares for souls. Thank the Lord that He cares for the hearts and lives of every individual. Amen. If it's a woman by a well, amen, He cares. If it's a Gentile man riding on a chariot out of Jerusalem, amen, God cares. Amen. If it's nothing more than a city of Nineveh, God cares. Amen. God cares. Amen. 8 souls were saved in that big old ark. Amen. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Help us, Lord, to care. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Let's gather in these altars for a time of prayer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you.